Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. In your church Bibles, that will be on page 1117 for Acts chapter 20. Give you some time to get there, or on your phones or whatever. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Awkward moment of me finding where I put my marker. All right, and then Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. That'll be on page 1181. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, but what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have given more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet you in all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, as David comes to open up your word. May you also come to open up the eyes of our hearts, Lord. May we not just give so that we can say how well we've given, but Lord, it's a sweet smelling sacrifice, a fragrance unto you. Open up our hearts, Lord, and show us more than we could ever imagine, Lord. And let the river of life just flow through us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. And lovely to see you all, those in the building and those connecting and watching online. I've been praying for you this week. Those gathered here and those who will be watching this, even on catch up. I'm praying that you would know a surprising joy this week, that blessing would be yours in abundance. I love that picture that Tim was sharing at the earlier in our worship of this kind of waterfall. You cannot imagine the amount of abundance in God's kind of storehouses of blessing that he wants to kind of pour down his love, his grace, his heart to bless. He is a God who wants us to experience joy. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so I wonder, what brings you joy? What are some of the things that you kind of find that bring you joy, or you think might bring you joy? You know, if it's a hot day, and we've been very blessed to have a few good hot days recently, it's nice. A cold drink can really be a wonderful thing. Or if it's freezing cold, a hot drink. It's true that a new gadget can bring you joy for a little while as you go, wow, a new gadget. And you might have even heard of a thing called retail therapy. Have you ever come across retail therapy? And now you can just do it online. You can think, oh, I wonder what I'll put in my basket. And actually, we are bombarded by messages that say, if you want to have joy, if you want to have blessing, have more stuff. Have more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. And of course, with the more stuff you have, you've got to sort it out, maintain it, look after it. Then it breaks and it needs updating. And actually, what I think we realize is that the more stuff message doesn't really bring the joy that we think it does. And yet there are a lot of people putting a lot of money into making you and I think that is where we're going to find joy. And so even the deep parts of our being, the bits that Tim was talking about in that kind of depth, the bits that long for joy, you and I tend to listen more to the message of the world. That if you can have that new thing, you're going to be happy. Rather than do what is so countercultural, and that is remember the words of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 encouraged us to do, the words that are so countercultural. In fact, the complete opposite of messages that you and I are getting bombarded with on whether adverts or news feeds or social media every day. Listen to what Jesus says. He says this, remember, Paul says, remember the words the Lord Jesus himself said. Read these ones with me. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I sometimes, when I'm preparing, look things up in different versions. And there's a version called the Amplified Version, which simply just tries to kind of say things in a number of different ways. And this is the bit in the Amplified Version. Can we say this together? It is more blessed and brings great. Let's say that one again. It is more blessed and brings greater joy to give than to receive. That's why I love World Mission Gift Days. That's why I love these gift days that we have, because my longing is for greater joy for me and for you. And I want this morning to really help you and I remember this, to kind of jot it down. We've even given it on a little card for you as you read, as you leave, to take with you. I want you to remember it, but I more than want you to just remember it. I want to help us explore it. I want to help us believe it deeply in the depths of our being, so that next time you are kind of thinking, oh, I just need some kind of filling of joy, you don't think, right, what can I buy online? And oh, yeah. But you go, where can I give? Where can I give that joy, blessing would come in a greater way in my life? So I just want to simply ask the question, as we think about that amazing phrase Jesus said, remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to simply ask, why? Why is it more blessed to give than receive? And I want to use the story of Paul and the Philippians. Philippi was one of the most generous churches in Macedonia. In fact, Paul commends them in Philippi. He commends them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as well. This amazing, not very wealthy. In fact, quite a lot of poverty. In fact, Paul says, as he describes them, that they had extreme poverty, but yet their lives overflowed and kind of welled up in rich generosity. So please, please, if you've got not very much, don't think this blessing and this joy cannot be for you. No, no, no. Generosity is something any of us can embrace. So we're going to explore why it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we're going to see, because in giving, we're going to see a number of things. And the first thing is because in giving, we bring joy to others. Look at how Paul writes in the beginning of Philippians 4 verse 10, which is like, Philippians is like the joy-filled letter. Remember, we were thinking last week, Paul's writing it from prison, and yet there's so much joy. And in Philippians 4:10, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you at last renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you had been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Paul wants them to know that he is greatly rejoicing because he got their gift. When we give, it brings joy. And you know, that joy is infectious. The joy that we see in others that we give to kind of bounces back to us and causes us to have joy. When I was growing up in Nairobi in Kenya, I used to go to Nairobi Baptist Church. Here we are at Holland Road Baptist Church. But in Nairobi, at the particularly at the 8:30 kind of youth service, we used to sing a song, and it had this little line in it that said, "The way to be happy is to make someone happy." I've often remembered that and actually proved it to be true. If I'm thinking, woe is me, I often find that the thing that makes me happy is to do something that makes someone else in the family happy, or in the church family, or in our worldwide church family. The way to be happy is to make someone happy, because joy is infectious, and when we give, we bring joy. So let me just talk you through my Wednesday. Wednesday was the day when we were having a particular focus on prayer as a church, a day of kind of prayer and fasting, with a prayer at the start for the place, sort of the poorest of the poor, one of our priority areas, and then at lunch for places where there's no church, and then the evening for the persecuted church. And in the morning, we particularly on Wednesday, we were praying for India, for these long-standing connections we've got with particularly a school that is trying to help the Dalit community. Dalits are the kind of the lowest caste in the Hindu sort of structural caste system. They're sometimes called the untouchables. There's 200 million of them, more than 200 million. They're the most trafficked people in all the world. They get treated horrendously. And one of the things that the Indian church asked us to do, because the Dalit community leaders had come to them and they said, "Could you educate our kids so that they grow up with a mindset that sees they have value?" And many churches around the world, including ours, responded saying, "Yes, we will help bring education to Dalit kids." And I remember going and visiting, and I was thinking as we were praying them on Wednesday morning of kind of pictures that we took when we were there of like kids like these kids here. Kids who have like such joy because they're going to school and not being trafficked. And I'm praying there and I'm thinking, yes, this is so good. The joy that comes to them and bounces back to us, because we get to bring joy. I mean, I was thinking, even as I was coming this morning, I was thinking, it's not just the kids. I can imagine the parents' joy. My kids get to go to school, not trafficked, abused. How wonderful. You know, and then lunchtime, we were on a call with the Rigs, updating us on what's going in the valleys of Wales and in Treorchy and the Rhondda, particularly a very place where there's not much gospel witness anymore. And they ended the call. We saw their kind of video earlier. But Dan just said this. He said, "Thank you so much for your church support and prayers. The way we give to the Rigs brings them so much joy and blessing." And I listened to that and I thought, this is great things that we're part of as a church. I'm loving this. And then I got to the evening. And the prayer night in the evening, we were particularly thinking about the Horn of Africa. I spoke last week about some of that work amongst Somalis. And myself and my friend from North Africa, who's a mission partner, we had a chance to go. And the guy from North Africa, he said, as we kind of were talking about things that had happened, he said, "Well, this past week, someone in North Africa had got saved and been baptized." And I'm like, this is amazing. And then the partner we were talking about in Ethiopia, who was sort of sharing about some of those open doors and kind of way they've been encouraging persecuted Somalis and those in that ministry in the east, said, "But here's another thing that God's been doing in this kind of southern region of Ethiopia, in a very remote place. This wonderful pastor, Pastor Biniam, who we had a chance to meet." The next slide there, Mike. He's been going into this region. And again, I was thinking about this with your picture, Tim. The kind of desert places. This guy's been going and trying to share the gospel with remote tribes. And Dundee said recently at a service they had for a new church plant in this area, They baptized 70 people in one service. 70 people. There was like in the prayer gathering, there was this spontaneous joy. But imagine the joy for the people. And our joy is because of the joy that it brings them. And so as we give, we have this amazing privilege of bringing others joy. And that's the first thing we see in Philippians. And I'm going to spend a lot less time on some of the others. But next thing we see is that as we give, we learn one of the most wonderful secrets. A secret that I long for you all here to learn. The secret of contentment. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, we've got it again up here. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret, he says, of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Amen, indeed. So how do you learn contentment? Because contentment is like this wonderful thing to have. Far, far better than the next gadget. Far, far better than whatever is in your shopping trolley. We often think if we get that thing, we'll be content. Never happens. You do not learn contentment by getting. Useful tip for parents. If you're trying to teach your kids contentment. You don't learn contentment by getting. That's the message the world is bombarding us with. It's not true. So how do you learn contentment? Contentment comes through these wonderful things of gratitude and generosity. They're like the training wheels to learn this secret. Do you want to know the secret? The secret is in verse 13. Can we just have that slide back up, Mike? The secret is that as we give thanks and as we give, we learn that we can do all this through God who gives us strength. That whether you're well-fed or hungry, whether you're in a difficult situation or not, what's the thing that's going to help you have contentment? It's knowing God's going to help get you through it. God's going to give you the strength you need. Give us the strength we need. And so not just does that cause blessing to come to others, our gift, it's doing something in us. It says we're going to be looking later. It's helping us see that we can trust in God's provision. And I thought this would be a great moment just to have a couple of testimonies. So I'm going to invite Jen up. Then I'm going to come and tell you a few more things from Philippians, and we'll see how we're doing for time. But can we just encourage Jen? Jen's oversees our world missions team, is our church administrator, and has just done so much to help us this week, but she's got a couple of stories to share with us. Thanks, Jen.
Hello. Hello. Right. Sometimes when we talk about giving, we talk about the adventure of giving. And when I think about an adventure, it's not a safe thing. It's often risky. It's usually fun. It's often uncertainty. There's definitely joy. But yeah, so when you think about the adventure of giving, you're kind of aiming for some of those things, I think. And I've got three little stories today that will help us understand that a bit better, I hope. So all of our mission partners, we saw some of their photos and prayed for them earlier, all of them kind of live within this adventure. They've given up having a salary. They go and work for Jesus in different places, and they get supported by friends and family and churches like us, and they don't have a regular income. Every day they're living the adventure. And I asked some of them to send me some stories. And Michaela sent me a story. She's living in France with Jamie and the family. She sent me a story about how God had just been providing for them recently. And, yeah, he gave them a house, which is amazing. And she's just got a few seconds to share with us how excited she is at his provision.
Had those two checks come through, and that one of the anonymous donation as well. So just from praying for our financial needs and how good God has been to us with our housing needs and then financial needs as well, and it's been a really it's been great.
Apparently I need to move to the middle. And I have a story of my own, actually. So I have lots of these stories, so it was difficult to pick one, but I was thinking of the adventure of giving. And 2 years ago, at this, probably on this very day, 2 years ago, we had our World Mission Gift Day, and it was at a point in time when I was trying to move house. Now, some of you know I tried to move house for like almost 3 years. So I was just a short way into this journey, and I'd started saving, not knowing what the future looked like or how much money I would need and all the costs associated with moving. And it came to gift day, and it felt like God was saying, just give me everything you've already saved up for moving. And I was like, okay. So I did. And I was joyful about it and trusted him and didn't know what the future looked like in terms of moving. And it took a really long time for that to become clear. And about 18 months later, I was given a gift towards the moving costs and the new house. And it was the same amount and half again. So God gave me 50% interest on that investment. And he does this time and time again when we trust him. And Mike Leal has got a little similar story. A few years ago, he responded to a giving appeal in Brazil for some families that had lost their homes through some flooding. And they'd been encouraged to gather some food parcels and to not just make them kind of basics, but to make them luxury. And he'd really enjoyed going around the supermarket and spending quite a bit of money. And he was full of joy as he'd made his gifts. And then he met with a friend one evening, and this happened.
And when I got there and we sat down to pray, he said that God had told him to give me some money, and he gave me 200, which was double what I'd just spent. So, you know, I thought I was being generous, but God's generosity back to me was double that amount. So if I'd been feeling pleased with myself for being so generous, God showed me that he outweighs any generosity that we can give.
Thank you so much, Jen. Let's praise the Lord and thank Jen and his wife for that. It's wonderful, the blessing that comes to others as we give, but we sometimes forget to realize the blessing that comes to us. And we're going to continue to explore that as we continue on, just briefly looking at some things here. So as well as when we give, we learn that secret of contentment and bring joy to others, the next thing we see in Philippians is this amazing thing that as we give, we really do meet real needs. And that's so wonderful, isn't it? You know, because there are a lot of needs in the world that need meeting. And we think, come on, who's going to do it? And we have the opportunity to do it. So Paul writes in Ephesians and Philippians, and he says this, "Yes, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." We sometimes think other people are going to do it, and it's through us. You know, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. There is so much need around the world. So easy to think, well, someone else will do it. When we know, actually, aid budgets are getting cut left, right, and center. Charities are being stretched. But, you know, when I hear, like there's an earthquake in Myanmar like there was earlier this year, I am so thankful that part of our giving last year to the gift day, to our world missions work, goes into an emergency fund so we as a world mission team can respond when there's things like that and say, right, we're going to meet that need. We're going to give something towards that evident need. Might not know the people or things, but we give through something like Tier Fund, which is a trusted partner, and they're able to come and meet the need. And you know, it's wonderful because actually we are blessed people and we're blessed to be a blessing. That's what the blessed life looks like. The blessed life doesn't just look like, oh, it's going well for me. The blessed life looks like we're caught up in that waterfall. That we're caught up in this amazing blessing so that we can just give and meet the needs of others locally and globally. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's what Jesus' life looked like. That's what Paul's life looked like, as he said, look, this is how I lived, as I sought to help the weak. Who are the weak? Those are vulnerable and in need, both spiritually and physically. And, you know, that's what we're called to be like. That's what the Philippians were like. We're called to be like that. So we meet real needs, and then I love this next one. This next one says, we invest in eternity. So as we continue to look at, think about what Paul saw in the Philippians church, there's this amazing little line, and it says this. He says, up in Philippians 4, verse 18, not that I desire your gift. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Hear me out here. Paul is, he's already said, thank you for the gift. That's great. Does meet the need. But what he's saying now is actually far better than your gift. I'm pleased about something else. I'm pleased at what is credited to your kind of heavenly spiritual account. So today, as we give our gifts, or maybe in these days ahead, there is something that doesn't just happen through our giving here. It's not just that we get a chance to celebrate God's provided. There's something that happens in heaven. It's like Jesus often spoke about these kind of treasures in heaven. You know, you and I often think about, well, where's a good investment? I'll tell you where a good investment is. The only kind of enterprise, kingdom, kind of organization that's going to go on forever, the kingdom of God. That's a good investment. Everything else, it will eventually tank. And yet you and I have the opportunity today, as we give, to invest in eternity. Now, I've been thinking about this week. Because I've been giving it, Laura and I have been giving at World Missions Gift Days for many, many years, like many of you. And sometimes you can kind of, it kind of comes around quite fast. But I've been thinking this week about this amazing thing that actually all those previous gifts, in fact, every gift you've ever given to anything is in that credit account in heaven. Somehow, I don't know how. And today, we're reminding ourselves that there's that heavenly investment dimension. And then you go, wow, I want to invest more. That was a good investment. That's a good investment. And as one of your pastors, I want to say this. I long, like Paul did for those in Philippians, for that credit account of yours. That you would have things today that are credited to that account, not because of the amount that is given, but somehow because of the faith and generosity it expresses. And boy, isn't that going to be wonderful 10,000 years from now? And we look back and go, wow, God, you were doing something there. So we invest in eternity. Just to couple more things I want to say. Paul goes on and he says this. He says that this gift that the Philippians have given is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Right there at the end. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. That means our giving today has this opportunity to be like a fragrant aroma to God. It has the chance to please God today. Any day is a great day to think, how can I please God today? You know, it's wonderful, isn't it, when you feel like you've made someone happy. What about if that person is the God Almighty, your maker, the one who you'll one day stand before and be worshiping forever? How amazing that our giving today gets to be part of our worship, gets to be part of that way which in all of our lives we are bringing God praise. I want to delight God today. Amen? I want to offer him my praise through what I give, to bring him delight and pleasure for our offering this morning to be a fragrant offering. Acceptable to him. I've got one last thing I want to say before we continue to worship and then give our gifts, and it's this. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because in giving, we bring joy to others. We learn the secret of contentment. We meet real needs. We invest in eternity. We please the Lord. But wonderfully too, we build our faith in the promises of God. We prove those promises to be true, as Jen and Michaela and Mike were sharing about. They can kind of testify like what Paul was saying is his testimony, and he was encouraging the Philippians to believe this in Philippians 4 verse 19. And my God, he says, will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches, there's the waterfall again, in Christ Jesus, in all kinds of ways, blessings of peace. It doesn't always come back exactly the same way. Sometimes you get those amazing stories like, yeah, I gave 100 and 200 came back, and we have many stories like that as well. But the amazing thing is that actually the blessing is guaranteed, and the supply of needs is guaranteed, but God knows what you need and what way to bless you as you go through it. It is a remarkable thing that we have the chance through our giving to grow in our faith. Your faith is one of the most precious things in your life. I long that your faith would be strengthened. What is faith? It's believing Jesus' words, believing his promises, believing in him that he can supply all our needs. What is your greatest need? What is my greatest need? It's a deep, deep, deep need. It is a need so great that you and I would never be able to pay for it with what is in your bank account or everyone's bank account or get all the millionaires in the world. We would never be able to pay for our deepest need. Our deepest need is to have our hearts completely transformed, forgiven, wiped clean, a debt that we're all in, taken away, to be given the righteousness that we need to stand before God and be with him forever. Our need is to know a security that enables us to have a joy and a peace because we know we're right with God, and we cannot do that with anything we have. But yet Jesus, he's so generous. He came and he paid it. He paid it on the cross. He paid it in full. He paid it with his death. That is how much he longs to bless you and I. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He knows our need, really, each one of us here today. He knows those deep, deep, deep needs. And maybe even before we give, or even think about the amount we give, actually come again and just think about the amount he's given to you. Allow him to minister to you afresh today, as it were, to hold out your hands and receive his love, his grace, his blessing, that you and I may be channels of that blessing to others. You see, God is generous. And he wants a generous people. He wants people who are kind of caught up in that waterfall. We want people of faith who believe these words, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I encourage you, take one of these as you leave. It's got that verse on it. And then it just has got these simple reminders that as we believe those words, as we give, we bring joy to others. We learn the secret of contentment. We meet real needs. We invest in eternity. We please the Lord, and we build our faith and prove his promises as we go on this adventure with him. And so please today, I would encourage you. This is an invitation to trust Jesus and his words. To trust the one who gave his all for you. And may God then, as we do that, cause a spirit of generosity to well up within us. So I'm going to invite the band up. We're going to have an opportunity to respond in worship. And then Helen's going to lead us in a time to give. And just encourage you in this moment just to be still. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Lord, we step into your abundant grace, the waterfall of your love and of your provision. Thank you, Jesus, for your generosity to me. Maybe just in your heart, you might want to just say, Jesus, I believe and trust in you. I believe your words to be true. I believe you love me and are for me. Lord, you love us with an amazing love. Lord, pour out to each one here what they need. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your blessing. Lord, that we might be a blessing. Those who believe and act on your words, that it is more blessed to give than receive. Lord, we believe it, and so I pray, Lord, would we gladly and cheerfully give our gifts. Lord, not just what we give today in this gift day, but our whole lives. We offer them up to you as an act of worship, Lord, to bring you joy and delight, to praise your name. Lord, may an amazing spirit of generosity and faith well up, we pray. And Lord, all the glory be to you, our generous God, our wonderful Savior. We praise your name.